Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Northern Line. In this episode, we're going to chat with Nick Francis about this year's Northern Anesthetic Pedal for NAP21, as well as having a roundup of day one of the Association of Anaesthetists Trainee Conference from earlier this month. But first of all, some information and dates for your diary. Changeover is almost upon us, so don't forget to return any locker keys and reclaim any deposits, as well as returning decked phones, chargers and bleeps to the departments that you're leaving. Although we're now into the summer months, there are still absolutely loads of events coming up from A-Line and I-Line. So as always, do keep an eye on the calendar and course pages on the website. For anyone new to anaesthesia, congratulations on being part of a fabulous specialty. There are a few inductions happening in August. For ACCS trainees, this will be on August the 13th. For Northern School of Anaesthesia and Intensive Care Medicine Core and ST3 trainees, this will be on the 17th of August. And for intensive care ST3s, this will be on the 19th of August. There are plenty of new starter courses happening at various locations around the deanery. So for anyone who should be attending a new starter course, hopefully you've already been given the information in advance about these, but if not, do contact your college tutor ASAP. These courses are incredibly useful and will give you plenty of practice as well as some top tips and a great way to meet up with your peers. On the 11th of August, we have the first NEAIR, or Northeast Anaesthesia and Intensive Care Review. And this event is going to showcase interesting QI projects, audits and case reports alongside some excellent keynote speakers who will be presenting on awake shoulder surgery and management of perioperative anaemia. NEAIR will take the form of a webinar and it will be well worth attending, so check out the A-Line website to book your place. For those sitting the final FRCA, there will be written online exam practice under exam conditions on the dates of the 16th to 18th of August. This is excellent preparation for the real exam and each candidate will get individual feedback on their paper. For anyone who's preparing an ST3 anaesthetic application, there'll be an online portfolio workshop on the 23rd of August. This will provide invaluable preparation and be well worth signing up to. There will also be an ST3 career enhancement course held virtually on the 4th of October, another very useful resource. Moving on to September, we have our next regional ICM teaching, and this will take place via Teams on the 14th of September. And topics will include admission decision making, organ donation, brainstem death testing, chronic disease and critical care, and management of electrolyte imbalance. There'll also be an ICM update and trainee forum on the 22nd of September. For anyone who's less than full-time or thinking about going less than full-time, the next meeting will be on the 22nd of September. There'll also be the first of the next three mentoring development sessions for anyone who wishes to train to be a mentor, and this will take place on the 30th of September. In addition to these clinical and academic courses, September also brings NAP21, and we're now going to hear a bit more about this from Nick.
So, Nick, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, yeah. So my name's Nick Francis. I'm an ST6, or we're just about to start ST6 anaesthetic training in the Northeast.
So tell me, you do a lot of stuff with the Northern Anaesthetic Pedal and responsible for organising that. So tell me a little bit about what is Northern Anaesthetic Pedal, or NAP as it's called?
So me and one of my colleagues, Chris Brow, who's now a consultant at the RVI, I'm sure many people will know him. When we were both on the trainee committee together, we both kind of wanted to share our passion for cycling and being outside. And so, yeah, we set up the Northern Anaesthetic Pedal in, gonna say 2017. I think 2017 was the first year we ran it. Chris is like a sort of pretty much semi-pro cyclist. I'm a bit more of a Saturday afternoon pushler. But we both really love our bikes, and I think we both recognize there was probably a bit of a gap in the market. Firstly, in terms of cycling events, in the there were always a little bit slightly, or I think certainly to the uninitiated, a bit like me, they can be quite sort of intimidating places to go, especially if you're not a very keen cyclist. And I think that whole idea of kind of organized cycling events, I think, really put off quite a lot of people who did enjoy being out on their bike and did enjoy kind of meeting up with people, but didn't really feel the need to go into a kind of sort of time trialed sportif type thing. So we were quite keen to be able to provide something that was firstly you know, for everyone. So for all abilities, you know, people who are very keen cyclists, as well as people who might just be starting out on that journey, from all age groups. Initially it was really just to kind of get anaesthetists together. So anaesthetists in training, anaesthetic consultants, and, you know, all of the other allied health professionals that we work with, in a day that's quite fun, like got a few hard bits to it, but it's not especially hard. And gets people outside on a Sunday afternoon when you, so certainly, you know, you're coming towards the end of the summer when we always hold it in September. And I think people, you know, might be beginning to relocate towards the sofa on a Sunday afternoon. So it was a little bit of a kick up the bum to get people moving again. So we started it running, 2017, I think, was the first year. And we've got probably about 50 people came. And then over the years, it's just kind of spiraled in a good way into more and more people. And obviously COVID, unfortunately, put our 2020 event off. But in 2019, which is the last year we ran it, we had over 100 people there, raised a decent amount of money for the Great North Air Ambulance. It's been a great day. People bring their own bikes. People have been hiring bikes. People have hired our e-bikes as well for people who are, you know, perhaps a little less confident on the hills. But effectively, it is a 15-mile circuit, which sounds like a lot if you don't cycle very much. But really, on a bike, 15 miles, not too bad. There's a little hill at the beginning. Other than that, it's relatively flat and undulating. And you can do that circuit as many times as you want. It's all based at our hub in a little village called Ebbenbyes, which is in County Durham. So probably about 30 to 40 minute drive outside of Newcastle, just off the A69. And we've got a hub in a church hall there, so it's all pretty informal. But over the years, we started off with just a table outside and people timed themselves. We're now up to the point with the technological wizardry of David Pye having live tracked GPS timing, which you just plug onto your bike and give it back to us at the end. We've also got our kind of sponsors and supporters from the Cycle Hub down in Newcastle on the Quayside. You can also bring your bike and obviously get it fixed, although we probably advise you to try and get it fixed before the day, in the guise of On You Cycle, who we've been working with pretty much since the beginning. And Joe from On Your Cycle effectively do loads of bike maintenance, give you bike maintenance tips and kind of fix your bike up for you when you're there. Thing that we're quite proud of is that we've had it catered pretty much every year professionally as well. So we this year, Screen for Pizza are going to be making their debut at the Cycle. So they bring their own mobile pizza van, and you can buy pizza there on the day. There's a bit of something for everyone there as well. And then we've got prizes as well. So we've been really proud about the amount of young people that have come on the day as well. So whether they're so small they can't pedal themselves, and the likes of Vaughan and Louise Roberts cycling their little ones in their buggy behind the bike, or even small people on bikes as well, it's completely up to you. But every sort of person under 18 that comes gets a prize at the end as well, which is great. And we've got some silly prizes for the grown-ups as well. So it's really just a very chilled out, informal day. Everyone who comes tends to really enjoy it. We've been relatively lucky with the weather over the years as well, but if it does absolutely bucket it down, we've got space inside the church hall so people can huddle. And now, thankfully, COVID restrictions are at a point where we're actually able to hold this event this year as well, which we're really happy to be able to do.
So have you put any measures in place for COVID? Is there any specific things that people need to remember when they're coming?
Yeah, so we've obviously the guidance is changing relatively quickly, but from the 19th of this month, 19th of July, pretty much all restrictions, legal restrictions, have been removed. That said, we're aware that, you know, the pandemic is continuing, that the amount of people infected around, especially certainly our region, is on the rise as well. So we're making some relatively sensible suggestions. So there isn't going to be anything like a one-way system in place, but we are going to be advising people, if they are inside, that they might want to consider wearing face masks. All the doors are open, so the hall itself is very well ventilated. And we're just asking people to effectively use their common sense. Many people who come are anaesthetists, or at least in an anaesthetic medical family, but many are not as well. And I think it's just up to people really to be quite sensible. We've never had a huge bun fight sort of crowd inside the building, because most people are out on the cycle itself. And hopefully, again, the weather will be nice this year, which will mean that most people will be outside. There's tea and coffee and stuff like that provided, but in a slightly more scaled back version this year. We are asking if people obviously want to bring food as well. We're absolutely happy to have that and serve it, just to kind of just consider that, you know, we'll try and do it in as COVID secure way as possible. So obviously if things can be wrapped up individually, things like that, that might make people feel more comfortable.
So is it quite a competitive event?
I mean, there are people who become very competitive on it, but that has never detracted from the enjoyment of people who look at it as more of a, you know, which is the way we see it, as more of an event to come and socialise with some of your colleagues, and also people you might not have met before. So a bit of a network as well that's growing there. But most people don't treat it as an uber competitive event. You do get your time. You don't have to look at that if you don't really want to look at it. But there are always going to be people at a cycle event who want to be first and want to be the fastest round the lap. That's absolutely fine. We don't discourage that at all. But like I say, that's never discouraged or kind of been a downer for people who aren't into that. There's everyone's very respectful of each other on the day.
And can people come who've never cycled before?
Absolutely. So for people who are kind of looking at a sort of slightly more, who are coming from a slightly more novice perspective, you know, I would say if you're an adult and you're still needing the stabilizers on, this might not be the ideal event for you. But again, I think we get more people sort of year on year who are less confident about maybe doing the hills without some assistance. Or who are less confident in doing the full, they don't feel that they'll maybe have the legs to go the whole way around on a standard bike. So the e-bikes are a really good way of doing that. So you can still see the countryside, you can put less effort in and the bike will do a little bit more work for you. And those are available for hire and via our website as well. There is loads more information about that and how you can hire that. The website, just as I've mentioned it, is northernanaesthetic pedal, all one word, .com.
And is that the website you use to sign up for this event as well?
Yeah, so this year, as I sort of alluded to, we're having a slightly more scaled back version this year, just with, really the idea that people have been working quite hard and COVID has hit a lot of our colleagues and people who would normally come to the race quite hard. You may hear I have a slightly croaky voice. So despite my three vaccines, I am still in the recovery phase of having COVID. So lots of people will, I think, possibly be slightly more wary about coming to a mass sort of event this year. So we're not probably plugging it in the same way that we were last year. We're not focusing quite so much on raising money for charity this year. And equally, we used to kind of have a specific amount of money that we would ask people to pay to enter. This year, we're having a suggested there's a suggested donation of £20. You can pay that on the day. You don't need to sign up in advance. You can just turn up if you want to. And like I say, so there's no pressure. If you sign up even on the website, so there is a form you can sign up there, and it is helpful for us to know in terms of numbers. But there's no pressure to do that. And even if you sign up and you decide, you know, actually on the day you're not feeling it, that's absolutely fine as well. There's no pressure or kind of financial commitment required.
And is it just anaesthetics that come, or other people as well?
It started off just being anaesthetics that came, but actually over the years, there's been more and more interest, both within the region and outside the region as well. So last year we were really happy to host some actual anaesthetic colleagues from the Yorkshire Deanery as well, some trainees from there who came up, and that was, it was really special as well. But we've even branched outside of our own specialty now. So we've had neurologists and even, God forbid, some actual non-medics as well who've come in, and that's been absolutely great to see. So that's been really part of the evolution of NAP as time's gone on. I should flag the date because I haven't mentioned that. So this year NAP is going to be happening on Sunday, the 19th of September. It runs all day, so you don't have to feel that you need to come from right at the beginning to right at the end. I think we're going to be opening from about 10 o'clock this year, although if you go on the website northernanaesthetic.com, there'll be more information about times. But you can come effectively at pretty much any point during the day and start, do one lap, have a break, do and then do another lap, do one lap and go home, come and look at it and decide you don't want to do it at all and just have some cake and a coffee and go home. That's absolutely fine. So there's, yeah, like I said, there's no pressure either way from us.
And you said that people bring their kids, so I'm assuming that families are welcome?
Yeah, and more than welcome, more than encouraged, I would say, actually. So it's great to have families of all shapes and sizes and configurations there. Pets as well. So there's a big, lots of people bring their dogs every year, which is absolutely fine. And we love having our furry friends there as well. The other thing to mention for people, so pretty much every year we run it, and I think we'll plan to do the same this year, especially if there's interest in it, is if there are people who maybe not so confident on a bike and would like to go in part of a guided group. Like I've done a guided group every year, and it's just to bring a few people along, and it's quite nice to cycle in a group and we can have a chat and a natter as we go around. So that's always been well received as well.
Oh, brilliant. It sounds like a good event. So last plug for it, what's the date and the website again?
So NAP 2021, you can find all the information about the day, where to sign up if you'd like to, parking directions, how the whole thing works, and a whole map of the circuit as well, on www.northernanaestheticpedal.com. And it is on Sunday, the 19th of September. We, like I said, Jess, we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks very much, Nick. We're all looking forward to another fantastic day for NAP, and we hope as many as possible will be able to attend. At the beginning of July, the Association of Anaesthetists held their trainee conference at St James's Park. This was the first hybrid conference held by the association, and it was very well attended and incredibly well received. A huge thank you to everyone who played a part in bringing it together despite the ever-changing rules and regulations. Whilst it's impossible to summarise a whole conference in just a few minutes, Jess is going to give us a quick run through of the highlights from day one, and next month we'll cover day two for anyone who may have missed out.
As this month has seen the trainee conference from the Association of Anaesthetists hosted here in Newcastle, we thought we'd do a brief rundown of some of the main talks and discussions from the 2 days. In this episode, we'll focus on the content from day one, but we hope to get an update on day two out to you in the next episode. Alongside the main talks discussed here were a number of workshops, which unfortunately we don't have time to cover in this episode. The first day began with a brilliant keynote lecture by Professor Michael Trunnell on how to stay young, lifestyle and diabetes medicine. Interesting thoughts on how every single action contributes to health and ageing and how our behaviours are driven. This was followed by talks from a number of our military personnel on everything from managing an Ebola crisis in West Africa and long-haul repatriation of a COVID-19 patient, to a personal and emotional journey of a life as a medic in the Navy. Later in the morning, we had a talk by Dr. Emma Plunkett from Birmingham on appreciative inquiry and how to recognise value and learn from excellence, not just our mistakes. Followed by a talk from Dr. Thompson and Dr. Carter from Northumbria University on their study into bullying in the NHS and the trainee experience of seeing or being involved in these incidents. It also looked at ways that might be appropriate to deal with these sort of incidents. The morning ended with a talk from Dr. Walsh and Dr. McLaughlin on imposter syndrome, including what it is, types of imposter syndrome, and practical tips on how to deal with it. The afternoon of day one began with another keynote address from Professor Adrian Brooke, who is the Deputy Medical Director of Workplace Alignment for NHS Health and Education England. This focused on anaesthesia training and the role of health education in England. Given recent controversies in training and availability of jobs, he tried to unpack and explain how training numbers and funding are decided. This talk was bound to generate some debate, and Professor Brooke was also part of a panel discussion about this on the following day. The rest of the afternoon consisted of a number of talks surrounding pain, including paediatric pain, low opiate anaesthesia, and how to teach and learn regional anaesthesia. To finish, the theme was obstetrics and consisted of talks on the obstetric general anaesthetic, in which Dr. Morland informed us that propofol and rocuronium is the obstetric GA recipe, and Dr. Cranfield discussed the evolving field of maternal critical care and maternal medicine networks. Dr. Kane finished off the day with an update on the latest NAP audit into perioperative cardiac arrest and some information about different types of research fellowships available. It is impossible to cover in detail all of these talks in this small part of the podcast, but if anything here takes your interest, and you had tickets to either the online or virtual event, remember that you can log into the online platform to still catch up on some of the content available.
Thank you, Jess. The programme was really excellent and well worth catching up on if you weren't able to be there in person or virtually on the day. Just before we end this episode, I wanted to highlight an opportunity for trainee and MDT presentations at the Intensive Care Society State of the Art meeting in December this year. In addition to presenting academic work, the ICS also runs two competitions which may be of interest. Firstly, the Cauldron, Back to the Future. You're from the 1970s and the Intensive Care Society has just been formed. You've travelled 50 years into the future and now it's time to travel back and report to your team on what the future looks like. It's time to decide on what you would report back. Entrants will be asked to produce a 500-word abstract and these will be scored to choose those who'll be asked to present live at State of the Art 21. This competition is open to any doctors in training who have an interest in ICM, including specialty doctors, fellows, IMG, MTI and CSER programmes. It's a really fantastic opportunity to present at an international conference. The deadline for entries is August the 22nd, and all information is available on the ICS SOA website, which is at soa.ics.ac.uk. Alongside the Cauldron, there's also the opportunity to present at MDT Diaries, and the theme this year is Lessons from the Pandemic, How COVID Has Changed My Practice. At the Intensive Care Society, we know that the multi-professional team effort is without a doubt greater than the sum of any of its individual parts. Critical care thrives when we understand and value the power of teams, and we also know that within the team there are individual people, outlooks, stories and experiences. So after a wonderfully successful event at last year's conference, the Trainee Advisory Group are asking members of the MDT, any profession, any grade, any type of student, to tell us part of their story. As with the Cauldron, entrants will be asked to produce a 500-word abstract and then these will be scored to choose who will present at SOA 21. Anyone who's part of the MDT, please think about entering. It's a really good opportunity to present, share your experience and start conversations with teams nationally and internationally. And again, the deadline is August the 22nd for abstract submissions and further information is available on the ICS SOA website. I'd really encourage people to take a look and think about entering. These competitions bring out a wide range of themes for presentation, and even if you're not going to present at it, it's really worthwhile tuning into these sessions if you're attending the conference. That's everything for this month. Thanks very much to Jess and Nick, and we'll see you all again next month. Thank you.